Welcome to the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast, the nationally recognized preferred provider for asset protection and tax planning in the nation. This show is for real estate investors looking to protect their assets, save on taxes, and build their wealth with Clint Coons. Clint is an attorney, author, avid real estate investor, and featured instructor at Anderson's tax and asset protection events held throughout the country. Enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, it's Clint Coons here with Anderson Business Advisors. And in this episode, we're going to be talking about a subject that I think is really intriguing. And it actually gives people a way to get involved in real estate where they don't necessarily know a path forward. They don't have the cash, they think, available to actually go out and acquire property. And in fact, it's a strategy that one of my son's good friends that he went to high school with, he's now graduated college. He's working for Lockheed Martin, and he was recently over at my house because what else does he have to do, right? Everything's working from home, so come hang out at Clint's house. And we were talking about his house and how he purchased it, and he explained the whole detail behind it, how he was able to buy this house, more house than he thought he could afford, and he's basically living rent-free, building equity and cash flow in this property. And I explained to him the topic, what it was that he was actually doing. And he just fell into this. And I started thinking to myself, you know, how many people out there know about this strategy? And if you're not familiar with the strategy is referred to as house hacking. And I thought it would be a great opportunity to bring on a good friend of mine, Kevin Brenner. He's a captain in the Air Force. He's part of Active Duty Passive Income. And this is a group that I work with personally, and we work with active duty investors, also people that have, well, I guess you never retire from the service, but they're still involved. And it's really to show them how to move forward. And his program is something that I find extremely unique, and it's helping veterans, it's helping active duty individuals really take the money that they're earning and start creating passive income for themselves. So with that, I want to introduce Captain Kevin Brenner. Kevin, how are you doing?
Thank you, Clint. Thank you for that kind introduction. Yeah, I mean, you kind of hit it on the head, and when you're talking about, you know, house hacking and how you can buy a house, you can rent out certain parts of it, and then you can live rent-free. And it's a lot of, it applies so well with the military. I mean, I'm still active duty. I'm up here at the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. Unfortunately, I couldn't house hack here because I live in a 700 square foot condo, and I think my fiance would kill me. But other than that, I'm not going to house hack the bathroom, you know, like, but I think, you know, in my last assignment when I was in Savannah, Georgia, I did just that. And I was able to use my VA loan, which for your listeners who aren't military or have that entitlement, it's the Veterans Affairs loan. So it's insured by the VA, and it allows military members and those eligible to get a loan for zero down. You can walk into a house, no down payment. I mean, there's some closing costs, there's some things involved, but the real kicker is they allow you to buy up to four units. You can buy up to a four unit property, which is still considered a residential property as in terms of real estate, as I'm sure many of your listeners know. So you can get up to a four unit property paid for zero down. And that's exactly what I did. I bought a quadplex in Savannah, Georgia. I think I bought the entire thing. I had to come out of pocket like $3,000. And this thing was cash flowing from day one. And I would have had to move into one of the units. However, consequently, about a week after I bought it, I got orders to come to DC. So I obviously couldn't live there, which is great because I was able to leave the tenant who I actually bought it from was a sweet old lady. She had owned it for 30 years. And I bought it from her. She lived in one of the units. She got to stay in her unit because, listen, I'm sorry, I got orders. I got to go to Washington, D.C. And now that thing, you know, we renovated all the apartments and it's really great.
All right. So you got a little bit ahead of everybody here because there are a lot of people probably listening to this right now and they don't even know what house hacking is. So let's go back and explain to them, tell them, you know, what is house hacking? Why would, you know, how do you get involved in it? We'll cover that, but explain the details.
So essentially, when we talk about house hacking, you know, it's one of those, like, if you've heard the term like life hack or something like that, it's an easier way to do something. So when we talk about house hacking, we're talking about, okay, you have a property and your mortgage payment is $2,000 a month, let's say. You know, that's your mortgage payment. You got $2,000. You got to pay that every month. You owe that money. How can you reduce that mortgage payment? How can you hack it to lower that or potentially even eliminate it, or if you're really good, cash flow from it. So it all depends on the property that you're looking into. And there's a lot of things. There's so many ways that you can do this, from, you know, the traditional rent out some bedrooms in your house. And a lot of this, by the way, for your audience, they might be married and they might have families and like totally not kosher, not like cool. Hey, let's bring in some strangers into your house. Yeah, don't recommend that. There's other strategies that you can take advantage of if you have a family living in your house. But if you're single or whatever, and you're willing to do something like this, you can, one, look for the properties that, you know, fit the model that you want to do. So like if you tell your realtor, say like, hey, I'm looking to house hack, most realtors understand that, that real estate term. So you'll be able to kind of find properties and make it work. But again, if your mortgage payment is like $2,000 a month, you could rent out, you know, you got a 4-bedroom house, rent out 3 of those bedrooms, you stay in one, you know, you might rent out a bedroom for $500 a month to someone, and boom, there you go. You just covered $1,500 of your mortgage payment. You're house hacking. So you're able to, you know, those tenants are paying down the equity, you know, and they're giving you equity in your home, and you're living, you know, in that example, you're paying $500 a month to live in what would be a beautiful home. So that in itself is house hacking.
Yeah. So you're renting rooms out in this mm-hmm. example, if you're single, or maybe you've got,
maybe you might be a young married couple. Yeah. Yeah.
No kids, right?
Yeah. Typically. Yeah. I mean, but it depends how hard you want to go. I mean, you know, there's stories out there where people are moving their families around and all kinds of things. A lot of the times with the families. So get this is a whole nother spin on it in the South. So where a lot of my properties are, they're a thing called carriage houses. So you'll have a single family home, and then behind it, you'll have a carriage house. And it's kind of like a pool house, but sometimes they're like little garages. Sometimes people renovate them into little apartments. But if you can get a house like that, that has a carriage house in the back, you can live in the main house, and then you could rent out the carriage house, which is completely separate. It's got its own kitchen, bathroom, the whole thing. You got a little apartment, backyard apartment back there. That's paying your mortgage every month. I mean, it could work out really well. So like the traditional house hacking model of like, well, I have a family, I can't do this. It's not necessarily true. You just have to look for the right property, right strategy.
Okay, so that's this it right there, right property. What I want to know is, let's assume that I want to get involved. I'm not married. What is the ideal property? Is it 3 bedrooms, 4 bedrooms, 5 bedrooms, certain square feet? Do you find certain number of bathrooms? I mean, there's got to be something in there that's going to attract people to want to live in that type of communal environment.
That's a great question, Clint. And it, you know, like all savvy real estate investors, my answer is going to be, well, it depends. It depends. Oh, yeah. That's a lawyer answer right there, isn't
yeah.
it?
I love it.
Yeah. But honestly, I mean, it depends. I would say for me, and this is how I think about it, it's not the number of bedrooms, it's the number of units. So if you can go and get a duplex, and you live in one half and you have another tenant living in another half, that's still house hacking. It's your house. You're hacking it. Or think about it like this. You have a duplex and you live in one half and you Airbnb the other side. That's house hacking. And it's a lot more profitable if you do it right. If your market supports it, you know, if you mm-hmm. live in the middle of New Mexico, it might not work. But, you know, if you live somewhere where there's a lot of people or a tourism, you know, reliant community, you can do really, really well. And they don't even have to be in your house because you have one side, they got the other side. So I would encourage your listeners to really look into duplexes, triplexes, or even quadplexes if they're really interested in getting the house hacking, because that's kind of how you level up. A lot of beginners will start with the concept that you said, oh, I got a 3-bedroom home. And then, you know, they rented out 2 of the bedrooms, but their kitchen sink is full of dishes all the time. You know, like they got roommates. Then they're thinking about, okay, how can I level up and still like live my comfortable, like have my bubble and still, you know, I'm living proof that if you get a quadplex, you can cash flow. Like not only is it covering my mortgage, it's putting money in my wallet every single month.
Yeah. So, all right. So then we pretty much defined it. If, you know, if you're single, maybe you've got a girlfriend or, you know, spouse, whatever, then renting out the bedrooms is possibly a way to go. But the drawback is you're going to be living with other people. And I would assume then, you know, you have to do the numbers. If you're looking at a 3-bedroom house versus a 5-bedroom mm-hmm. house, if it's only going to increase your mortgage, say $500 a month, go for the 5-bedroom house. If you can rent those rooms out for $500 a piece, right? So you're making even more cash flow.
Yeah. And it all depends on your market. So you have to figure out, okay, what's in my market? Typically people, you know, a lot of people house hack in places where there's universities. And again, there's obviously regulations based on the city and all of that stuff. Maybe you can't have this many occupants in a house. Usually, and again, I'll have to throw that disclaimer out here. This is from my experience. I'm not a lawyer. You are, you know, all this stuff. But usually the occupancy regulation is one, sometimes two people per bedroom is what they'll allow. But usually it's like one, you know, they can say couple sometimes, or like, you know, not family, but like one tenant per se per bedroom that you can let go. You can't go and put like 25 people in a 5-bedroom house. You know, that ain't going to work. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of other options. And one thing that I did forget to touch on, you don't necessarily have to house hack with people. So this blows a lot of people's mind. Yeah. So there are some sites out there. One that comes to mind is neighbor.com. And on my podcast, the Active Duty Passive Income podcast, we interviewed their CEO. And what they do is they allow you to store people's stuff. So say you got a house and you got a big garage and you don't got any cars, or you like parking outside, who the heck knows? You got a big empty garage. You can go on that website and take pictures of it and do whatever they ask you to do. You rent out the space in your garage for someone who might be in the military, who's moving, or they're going overseas, or wherever. They don't have to be military. It could be anyone who needs storage, you know? And it might be a couple $100 a month. Or I've heard of stories of people going out and actually like putting fences. This is wild. They put like fences on their yard and they'll make like boat storage or RV storage, and they're killing it. They're making thousands of dollars a month because they live in a big open area. They don't use the land. And how much is it to put a fence up? You know, who knows? I don't know. Fence and a couple security cameras, not that bad, but I don't have a boat. I don't have an RV, but I am aware that storing them is expensive. So if you can undercut someone else by putting it on your property and get a house hack out of it, all the power to you. That's what I say.
Yeah. So the term really means about how do you take an existing asset and find alternative ways to profit from it. And so as I hear you're saying, is that so many people looked at house hacking as putting people in the house, but you're saying store goods, store vehicles. You just have to make sure your insurance will cover that in case something happens, I imagine.
Yeah, exactly. So like, for example, if you're doing Airbnb, I highly recommend approaching your insurance agent about a short-term rental insurance policy, because, you know, Airbnb has, you know, their whatever $1 million policy, but when it comes down to brass tacks, they don't like paying out that much. So if you get a supplemental policy, you can, you know, cover yourself, and they're not hard to find. So, you know, obviously cover your bases, do what you need to do. But really the only thing that's limiting you in house hacking is like your imagination. You can, you know, there's services out there, or you can put ads out there for whatever, anything that you can, like you said, Clint, you have your asset. How can I add value to this asset to, you know, help alleviate me paying more of the mortgage or get the equity covered?
So let's say I was renting rooms out. I guess that's going to have to be a special rental agreement for someone. I mean, it's not just the standard where you're renting the entire house, because now they're common areas, it's shared. I mean, there are certain attorneys that draft those, or what would you recommend there?
So what I would do is, it depending on the market, obviously, I would go and look for other investors who are doing the same thing as you. And typically the room rentals, buy room rentals, they're not considered short-term rentals, because a short-term rental in most, and this is regulated by the city that you're operating in most times, but a short-term rental is usually defined as less than 30 days. So anything longer than 30 days could be considered something like a executive apartment, or, you know, whatever. Anyway, you can apply that same policy to a room. Obviously, you have to furnish the room, at least in most cases you do. And as far as the paperwork goes, I would reach out to other investors and say, what are you using? Reach out to some attorneys and say, this is what I want to do. And the fact of the matter is, in real estate, I mean, you could be, at 99% of the time, someone else has done it. Whether it's now or 50 years ago, someone else has done it. So that... There's precedence there, and it's a good thing, because you're able to find the paperwork that you need by just reaching out and networking.
And figuring it out, yeah. Because I imagine you want clauses in there that people can't walk around naked at 2 o'clock.
the walk around naked clause would be important. Maybe a deal breaker for some, though. I don't know.
I can imagine, yeah. So you've got those investors that, you know, the house hacking, if you're renting out the rooms, I see that as a great strategy, especially if you live in a larger city. Mm-hmm. Where they're very expensive apartments. And so this gives other individuals, that say millennials, an opportunity to get some space, not mm-hmm. in an apartment, but in a house, it could be beneficial for you. And then you were talking about the duplex, the triplex, and the quads, and renting those out. And so to me, that's, they call it a house hack, but it also sounds just like a straight up rental situation, isn't it? Mm-hmm. In a sense that you're just renting out that one unit.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. When we, you know, in the house hacking portion of it, I guess, you know, in the beginning of the interview and in the intro, I kind of mentioned how I did it. And, you know, I used a conventional residential loan, the VA for, in my case, but someone who's not military can use an FHA, pay 3.5% down. You still have to move into one of the units. So when you're filling out your loan paperwork, say you're using an FHA, when you're filling out your loan paperwork, you got to come to the table with 3.5%, which is pretty awesome, as opposed to if you wanted to do an investment loan and you didn't want to live there, is probably 25%, maybe even 30% now, given the economic climate, mm-hmm. depending on what bank you're going with. But you come to the table with 3.5% now, two things. One, you got to live there. And two, you got to pay mortgage insurance. But if you run those numbers and your tenants are still paying all of that and more, you move in and you're house hacking. For me, I was about to move in, but then the military, you know, had other plans for me, which is great because I didn't have to displace the, you know, the prior seller who was an 84-year-old woman. Like, I didn't want to do that. And she gets to still stay in her home. And, you know, just kind of the timing worked out on that for me. So now I have essentially an investment property, even though I was able to use the VA to purchase it. And it was awesome for someone just getting into real estate at the time. I was over the moon because I didn't think, you know, I could even do that. I was looking at condos and all these other things that I was going to buy and single units. And, you know, I don't know, not thinking like an investor, thinking like a consumer. And yep. I'm glad I got the advice I did when I did, because it really changed my life.
So for those types of investments, near bases, is that probably a good place for that?
As far as the quadplex, duplex, yeah. triplex, mm-hmm. it depends. I mean, it's market dependent. I'll tell you what, in the South, and so my assets are in Savannah, Georgia. They're everywhere. Sometimes they're around bases. Sometimes they're not. A lot of the times, the quadplexes will be built up in like neighborhoods of them. And they were usually, they're like affordable housing projects, you know, that were from the 50s or 60s and have since gentrified, and people are just living there, you know, but the buildings are like built really, really well. And that's the case in the neighborhood that I buy in. And, you know, I have two of them there, right, two blocks apart from each other. And, you know, and they do really well, and we've rehabbed them all, and, you know, we make them nicer, and we up the rent, and we, you know, we cash flow pretty well. So it really depends on your market. I mean, you could look in some markets and they might not have one duplex, you know, just based on what they were building, what the housing requirements were at the time. But any market that has gone through a boom with a lot of people moving, and maybe it might be constrained geographically, you're going to start seeing more and more multi-units because people are still coming in. But if there's no more space to build, they're not going to build out. They're going to build up. So that would be something that you could start looking in. But I mean, if you look hard enough, I mean, every market I've looked at in real estate, they've had them there. It's just, you got to look and you got to ask the experts on the ground.
So is there any gotchas that people should be aware of if they're going to use this strategy that, you know, can come back and hurt them?
If you're traditionally house hacking and you are living there, and let's assume that you're doing the, you know, the house hack that we're talking about where you have a quadplex, you live in one unit, you got three other tenants living there. I mean, you can pay a property manager. You certainly can. But if you're living there, you know, you probably would want to save the money and do the property management yourself. So there is some work involved. You know, you're mm-hmm. still responsible for the lives of three other tenants as far as their housing is concerned. So, you know, you might have like some weird calls, or you might have to manage some rehabs or do some things. But if you already are wise in real estate, or if you want a crash course, if you're new to real estate and you want a crash course, go and house hack something and take care of another tenant, and you'll understand. Because most people have been tenants before, but you'll understand from when you first take care of another tenant, you'll understand the other side of the coin, and you'll start, you know, weighing different costs and different finishes and, you know, upgrades that you want to make versus, okay, well, will this generate more rent? Will it not? You know, you'll start thinking about it like a business. And that's some of the best advice that I give all of our students, is you got to treat real estate like the business that it is. And that even if you're house hacking, separate bank accounts, you know, talk to your tax advisor, you know, you got depreciation at play. You got a lot of things at play that you need to set up, you know, ahead of time, or at a minimum, like in the beginning of this, to make sure that, you know, come tax time, you're good to go.
So why Savannah? Other than the fact you bought a first one down there, you're going to be stationed, it sounds like. But
Yeah. So I was, I lived down there. I was stationed down there for 3.5 years, Hunter Army Airfield, Fort Stewart, Georgia, you know, that area, that neck of the woods. And, you know, I really loved it. Savannah's great, great town, great foodie town. I really fell in love. That was kind of the first place. I've been in the military for a while now. And, you know, you hop around from station to station and you don't really build roots and it's hard to make friends because you're the new guy or girl in town. But I really built roots in Savannah, and I'm in DC now, but who knows, we might end up back down there. And, you know, if we do, I got some places to live, or I'll just buy more real estate down there, because just keep building on that portfolio, you know?
Well, so what do you got planned for the future?
Oh man, lots of things. So, so active duty, passive income. I mean, we're growing so, so fast. If any of your listeners can relate, if they know folks in the military or they're veterans themselves, I highly encourage them to check us out. We have a Facebook community of over 12,000 members now, and tons and tons and tons of free resources. The podcast, you know, you could come hear me blabber on about real estate on the podcast, but more importantly than that, I mean, we have Amazon number one bestselling book that literally goes through military house hacking. I think my bookshelf is behind me. I had it here on the desk earlier, but yeah, totally free on our website. So go and get that, just activedutypassiveincome.com. And for me personally, I'm apart from my active duty military career and then active duty passive income, I'm also establishing a private equity firm. So that's Nimbus Capital Investment Company. And so I'm a meteorologist in the Air Force. So I had to throw it back by calling my new venture Nimbus, which is Latin for cloud. So we, my partners and I are doing something a little bit unique, and we are raising capital from accredited millennials. I'm not sure if your audience is familiar with accredited, but high net worth millennials. And we're going to use that money, put it into a fund of funds, and then that capital we're going to use to fund other millennial multifamily syndicators, developers, asset managers. We're going to fund their deals and take an equity position. And we're hoping to raise $1 million in our first raise, and that starts in October of this year. And then we're going to ramp it up from there, 5 million, 10 million. Hopefully by the end of 21, my goal is to raise $20 million. So we'll see, see where we are. And I think there's just a great opportunity, because no one really thinks of millennials as people who have a lot of capital, but the truth is that they do. And our generation is now has eclipsed your generation, Clint, as far as in the working class. But that's good, because that means you get to retire and lay on the beach, and then we got to do all the work now, right?
Yeah, that's right, and pay off all this debt our company keeps incurring. Why don't you do that?
Yeah, that sounds fun. Looking forward to that.
All right, so if somebody, you know, that's listening in, we have a lot of military members and veterans that listen to our podcast. They see me on YouTube. If they want to get involved with Active Duty Passive Income, how would they do that?
Yeah, it's really simple. Just go to www.activedutypassiveincome.com and you'll get hooked up with, there's 16 individual free resources from our, actually, I think we just posted another one. I think it's 17 now, you know, just from the podcast alone, but we have a free VA loan mastery guide. So if you're a lot of people in the military, so there's a statistic out there, it's like less than 13% of eligible people in the military or eligible people in the military who are eligible for the VA loan actually use that product, which is staggering, because zero down. Yep. I mean, only 13%. And a lot of the times it's because people are confused, but there's a free VA loan mastery guide where we go over, it's a free course. We go over the entire thing. And then we have a bunch of, you know, the free ebook, the podcast, the, you know, go on and on. But if you're looking to get into real estate investing, and you say, hey, this is what I want to do, and I highly, highly encourage you to look into our Military Real Estate Investing Academy, which is a fabulous course. It is a full online course. And then you can join me in Operation Atom, and that's the single family mastermind. It's we call it Operation Atom, ATOM, and that's the action takers only mastermind. So we have a group of action takers, that is what I call them, and they're crushing it, from flipping houses to wholesaling to whatever. A lot of them are still active duty. A lot of them are veterans, but yeah, they can definitely get involved, and I'd love to see your folks cross over and just get more resources on investing and building wealth, because there's so much information out there.
Yeah, one of our senior strategists here at Anderson, a good friend of mine, Michael Hackler, he's on his third property now, and he just closed on one. He did a house hack in Salt Lake City.
Excellent.
VA loan, zero down. I mean, if you're a veteran or you're active duty, I mean, the programs out there are phenomenal, and it really can help you build wealth quickly through real estate. So they should go check out that channel for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's honestly, it's like a springboard. And if you are eligible, like Clint just said, if you're eligible for the VA loan, you have such a leg up on everyone else out there who has to wait to build up, whether it's 3.5% for an FHA or 20 or 25 or 30% for an investment loan. I mean, you have a tremendous leg up, and you can really springboard that into an entire portfolio that you can retire from quite easily, in fact.
Kevin, thanks. Anything else you want to leave in passing?
No, I mean, if anyone wants to get in touch with me directly, feel free to shoot me an email at kevin@activedutypassiveincome.com, and I'd be happy to point you in the right direction.
All right. Thanks for coming on, bud.
All right. Thank you, Clint.
Bye.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Show notes for links to everything mentioned in this episode can be found on our website at andersonadvisors.com/podcast. Be sure you subscribe to our podcast. And if you are already a subscriber, please provide us a review of what you thought of this episode.